This is Standing Watch. And now, Evangelist Norbert Link.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. When we look at Ukraine and the influence and involvement of Russia, the United States of America, and Europe, we can only describe this as a picture of utter confusion and chaos. And even though when you see this program, which was recorded at the end of February, developments might have gone further than what I am going to express today, and so it's a little bit difficult to prognosticate the immediate future, I'm here to tell you what the not-too-distant future holds for Ukraine. Because the Bible, believe it or not, is telling me what is in store. Is Russia going to intervene? What is Europe going to do? How will this all play out? Now, first let me just read to you a few excerpts from articles as they appeared on February 26 and a few days earlier than that. Here's an article by Deutsche Welle dated February 26 saying, "The 46 million strong nation's sudden shift to a pro-Western government has fueled United States and European Union tensions with Russia." Now, I will tell you that we cannot look at the players here and say, oh, these are the good guys and these are bad guys. This is not a picture of black and white. Listen carefully to how the article continues. Far-right opposition protesters played a significant role in the protests that unseated Yanukovych, including attempts of Ukraine's new leadership to ban the Russian language in the country, restore Ukrainian as the obligatory language in official documents, and turn the Russian-speaking population into non-citizens, which of course doesn't make the Russian population very happy. The change in power has also raised fears that the southern Crimea Peninsula, a Russian-speaking region, could secede. The port city of Sevastopol has already seen pro-Russian protests and demonstrations. Now, the New York Times added the following on February 23. Mr. Putin now faces the task of reasserting Russia's influence in a country that it considers a fraternal ally, one with deep cultural, social, and political connections that bind it to Moscow's orbit regardless of its new government. Russia still has enormous leverage and close allies in Ukraine, particularly in the east and on the Crimea Peninsula, home of Russia's Black Sea Fleet, and a sizable ethnic Russian population that views the leaders of the political uprising that toppled President Yanukovych with disdain. That has raised fears that Russia would use the disenchanted populations there as a pretext to intervene, even militarily, as the Kremlin did in two ethnic enclaves in 2008 in another former Soviet republic, Georgia. And if you go back in history, you also know that Russia intervened militarily in Czechoslovakia in the 60s. It goes on to say that how exactly Russia responds remains to be seen, but the turmoil is certain to further strain relations with Europe and the United States, which officials here have denounced for meddling in Ukraine at the expense of Russia's vital interests. At the same time, the United States and Europe have accused Russia of trying to impose its will there. And of course, we can go on with articles expressing the same thing. Here's another article by the New York Times dated February 27, saying that Viktor Yanukovych, the ousted president of Ukraine, declared on Thursday that he remained the lawful president of the country, and apparently when this article was written, he was already in Russia. And of course, this will deepen, as the article says, the political turmoil in Ukraine, and it will threaten to draw Russia more deeply into the conflict. Now, as I said, this is extremely volatile, and the new leadership, whether it's going to be a leadership in the Ukraine which will last or not, has declared that they would like to have closer ties with Europe while still maintaining their friendship with Russia. And it reminds you of the picture which occurred in World War II. Now, you can check that out for yourself. My dad, actually, who was fighting in Russia during World War II, and he was wounded in Leningrad, he told me exactly the same thing about the Ukrainians. He told me that they were originally supporting the Nazi regime of Adolf Hitler. And then later, when the Germans did not appreciate their support, they became supporters of Russia. But it was so that they could be liberated from foreign occupation. And that, my friends, is what we are seeing right now in the Ukraine. Mainly, they want to be liberated. It's Ukraine overall. It's not so much who they are going to be friends with. Now, here's an article from the internet saying when Ukraine was invaded by the Nazis, they originally collaborated with them because they thought of them as liberators from the USSR. And when the Russians invaded Ukraine, the Ukrainians thought them as liberators. They just wanted to defend Ukraine and make it independent. And of course, something very similar is happening right now. Now the question is, how will it all play out? And in order to know this, you need to know who the Ukrainians actually are. Now there are all kinds of ideas and speculations floating around as to who the Medes were, the ancient Medes. Remember the Medo-Persian Empire, the Bible talks about in the book of Daniel. And some say, oh, well, the Kurds are the descendants of the Medes, and others say the Iranians, the Persians, the Iranians are the descendants of the Medes. But the correct view is that the Ukrainians and many Russians are, in fact, descendants of the Medes. Here's an article which talks about this fact as follows. Not all Russians are Great Russians and White Russians. Some are called Little Russians. They live in the Ukraine and the eastern parts of Romania and Poland. They're often called Ukrainians. Throughout South Russia, in the Ukraine, 4 centuries before Christ, the Medes were beginning to settle. Here is what the historian Herodotus wrote of these people. They say that they are a colony of the Medes. The fact that the Medes are the Little Russians today is further amplified by Pliny in his Natural History, Book 6, Section 9. He mentions, quote, the River Don, where the inhabitants are said to be descended from the Medes. And so it is in fact very true that the Medes will play a major role in prophecy. And when we understand that it's actually the Ukrainians and the Russians, we already know that ultimately a collaboration will take place between Russia and the Ukraine against Europe, because that is what is clearly prophesied in your scripture. We have prepared a booklet, the Ten Revivals of the Ancient Roman Empire. And this talks about the prophesied 10 revivals, and the last revival is the revival of 10 nations or groups of nations in Europe. Now, these nations will be attacked ultimately by Russia and the Ukrainians, the Medes, if you please. I'd like to quote from our booklet from page 82, saying this. The Bible shows that after the 10 European nations, under the authority of modern Assyria, the Babylonian system, subdue and conquer many nations, they themselves will be defeated in war by the modern Medes. Isaiah 13:17 describes the destruction of modern Babylon through the hand of the modern Medes, or Russians and Ukrainians. In ancient times, the Medes lived in present-day Iran. Originally, under Assyrian rule, they revolted against and expelled the Assyrians and imposed their rule over the Persians. They then attacked Nineveh and overthrew the Assyrian Empire. Under Cyrus the Great, the Medes and the Persians were considered as one people. The Encyclopedia Britannica, edition 1959, points out that at least some of the Medes were not Iranians or Indo-Europeans, but perhaps connected with the numerous tribes of the Caucasus. The modern Medes, then, are to be found in modern Russia and surrounding areas. Now, the present leadership in Ukraine wants a closer tie with Europe. And the Western press is telling us that Europe has won the battle, and the United States has won the battle, and that Russia under Putin has lost the battle. Now, this is far too premature to say this. Now, even though it is conceivable that for a short while there will be a stronger collaboration between Ukraine and Europe, ultimately, as we have just seen, Ukraine will distance itself from Europe and will become very strong an ally of Russia. And you may say, oh, well, how this can not possibly happen. And let me just say that stranger things have happened in history. Now, let me just read to you from our booklet again, this time page 83, where we say, remember that Christian nations, such as the United States, Britain, and France, collaborated with communist Russia and its evil leader Stalin against the common enemy of Germany under its evil Führer, Adolf Hitler, leading subsequently to a hostile atmosphere, the building of the Berlin Wall, and a Cold War with a threat of a nuclear confrontation between these quote-unquote allies. So you see, the former friends, quote-unquote, in World War II became hostile enemies subsequent to World War II. And so Ukraine, even they may become for a short while a closer, quote-unquote, friend towards Europe and the United States, perhaps, ultimately they will collaborate with Russia and the combined forces will attack Europe and actually destroy it. The Bible makes this very clear in many pages, like in the book of Daniel, like in the book of Revelation. You just need this booklet, the 10 European revivals of the ancient Roman Empire, which explains all of these things, which explains a lot more, which explains, for instance, that at that time, when Russia and Ukraine will attack Europe, the United States of America will play no role any longer. And this booklet explains as to why that is. So I encourage you to ask for a free copy, and I thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.
Standing Watch is a presentation by The Church of the Eternal God, P.O. Box 270519, San Diego, California, 92198. More information is also available at our website, eternalgod.org.